Let us worship God. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we come again into thy presence, joyful in all thy mercies and blessings, joyful that in a troubled world we have the assurance that it is thy will that shall prevail, that even the wrath of man shall serve thee. Give us grace, therefore, day by day, to walk in the confidence of thy victory, of thy purpose, and of thy calling. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture is Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Our subject, guarding the Lord's day. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. As we have seen in other contexts, the Sabbath is essentially a day of rest. Worship should be a constant attitude and stance of the Christian man. The Sabbath is one day in seven, 1 year in seven, and the 50th year. It means a cessation of work, of debt, and of planning, because it is an affirmation that God is the governor of all things. And his care is unending. It is ceaseless. Now the calendar year is a fact of nature. Less strictly, the month too is related to a natural fact, even though the month is not for us strictly lunar or in terms of the moon. We associate the seasons of the year with the months. Spring, summer, winter, fall. But the weeks have no such context. One scholar has written that the week is an artificial, man-made interval. We would say instead that the week is God-ordained. This being the case, the need for the Sabbath rest is also God-ordained. The Sabbath and rest have been in the 20th century something that has been supplanted by leisure or leisure. The Oxford English Dictionary, in its main definition for leisure, says it is time which one can spend as one pleases. Now there's an assumption in that definition, namely, that work is not what one pleases to do, and also that the goal of living is to enjoy a life of leisure. Now that's a revolution in the outlook of man. Leisure is time that one spends as one pleases. And work, therefore, is what one does not please to do. Now that defines this century. And the modern idea of retirement is an aspect of this. This means that dominion is not man's calling, but rather that leisure is the goal. Such an idea is the product of an anti-Christian intellectual revolution. In fact, as one scholar has said very baldly, in contemporary Western societies, leisure has become an antidote to work. Along with this is the idea of going away to rest. That too is very modern and very strongly humanistic. Now perhaps it has a justification in that in going away to rest you get away from the telephone. In terms of the Bible, man's calling is to exercise dominion and to subdue the earth as priest, king, and prophet under God in Christ. Man dedicates his work and its results to God, rules over his sphere under Christ, and applies God's law word to every sphere as God's prophet. The satisfaction of rest is in part to enjoy the success of our work under God. But in leisure, the goal is to escape from responsibility into an era and an area where no duty exists. That's why the goal of modern man and of Marx is a work-free society. Man's substitute Sabbath, leisure time, means time away from duties and responsibilities, not a joyful rest in the confidence of accomplishment. So the modern idea of utopia has been a work-free world, a responsibility-free world, a world of permanent childishness. Rest and leisure, thus, are not the same. And ironically, as a scholar has pointed out, men now work at their leisure activities. People used to play tennis. Now they work on their backhand. They've transferred the language of work to the language of play. All of this is very, very important to the subject of the Sabbath. The French Revolution created a secular week. Earlier, Voltaire had written, and the French Revolution applied his idea, that if you wish to destroy the Christian religion, you must first destroy the Christian Sunday. And that is exactly what the French Revolution, with its secular week, proceeded to do. Was Voltaire correct in saying so? Well, the destruction of the Christian Sunday removes the rest and the triumph from dominion work. The modern doctrine of progress, now virtually gone, is a secular form of the Christian doctrine of providence. The doctrine of providence had its major attention and development in Calvinistic circles. It asserts the total government, care, and direction of all creation by the triune God. At one time, the doctrine had its various subheads and stresses. Now, the general doctrine is barely remembered. For example, Charles Buck, whose dates are 1771 to 1815, in his theological dictionary wrote, and I quote, because this gives you an idea of how thoroughly developed the doctrine was. Providence has been divided into immediate and mediate, ordinary and extraordinary, common and special, universal and particular. Immediate providence is what is exercised by God himself without the use of any instrument or a second cause. Mediate providence is what is exercised in the use of means. Ordinary providence is what is exercised in the common course of means and by the chain of second causes. Extraordinary is what is out of the common way as miraculous operations. Common providence is what belongs to the whole world. Special, what relates to the church. Universal relates to the general upholding and preserving of all things. Particular relates to individuals in every action and circumstance. Unquote. Men were once familiar with all of that. Now, even in Calvinistic churches, one rarely hears the word providence. The doctrine states that nothing happens apart from, outside of, or without God. It declares that God is indeed totally God, and all things are totally his creation. Accident, chance, and fortune cannot exist in God's creation. The doctrine of providence means that despite all appearances, we are on the winning side as God's people. God works in and through all things to accomplish his sovereign purpose. Now, in terms of this, the Lord's Day is a time of rest from our labors in the serene confidence that our work shall in God's providence prevail. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, that faith in providence, that nothing we do, no matter what the world does to try to destroy it, is ever in vain. It will have an eternal consequence. That in time and eternity, it will work together for good. That sustained people. That enabled them to rest. Israel is reminded in this commandment of its deliverance from bondage in Egypt. That total deliverance requires now a total rest. Their servants and their animals must alike rest. Because they are God's people, they must give his rest to all who are with them and under them. The Sabbath is related to God's providence because it is God who, by his grace, gives us salvation, the confidence in his ability to make all things work together for good, and therefore gives us the ability to rest. It is a day when we rest not only from our work, but also from our cares. There can be no true rest if we are fretful and anxious about a variety of things. Now, the word keep is very much important in this context. Keep the Sabbath day, we are told. And in the Hebrew, literally, it means guard the Sabbath day. Hedge it about. It is to be guarded and prized as a precious, a valuable thing, even as the Garden of Eden was hedged and guarded. Same word. Voltaire at this point may have been wiser than many, many churchmen. Guarding the Christian Sunday means guarding its meaning and purpose, the triumph of Christ over all things. It is a weekly reminder of the great proclamation of Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The world of leisure is that of statism and irresponsibility. Play replaces work. And man's goal is to escape work and duty. Curiously, the enemies of the Christian Sunday have commercialized the day and made rest more difficult for more and more people. The goal, of course, is not rest, but play. The name Sunday retains the old Roman emphasis on the sun god. And this term is with variations in English, German, Dutch, German, the Scandinavian languages, and in Hindu culture. The Italians, French, Spanish, Portuguese, and Gaelic use forms of the Latin Dominica, referring thereby to the Lord. In English, the Puritan use of the term Lord's Day has been very largely supplanted. We are to keep or guard the Sabbath day to sanctify it, to make it holy, separated to rest under God. This is a commandment from God. There is an interesting sidelight on the neglect of the Lord's Day in the 20th century. In 1919, Sandor Ferenczi published a paper entitled Sunday Neuroses. For a time it was much discussed and then quietly shoved under the carpet. Sunday, wrote Ferenczi, was a day when modern man felt free from his duties and compulsions to be himself and to act as he pleased. Many, however, found their liberation to be a troubling one. In one case described in the report by Ferenczi involving a Jew, the symptoms appeared on Friday evening. He was not as liberated as he thought. With some, headaches and even vomiting mark their liberated Sabbath or Lord's Day. Liberated man is never as free as he thinks. His liberation is too often from manhood and responsibility. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give thanks unto thee that thou hast in Christ made it possible for us to rest, to take hands off our lives and to commit them into thy keeping. Forgive us when in our folly we try to take back control, when we feel that our fretfulness will accomplish more than thy providence. Give us grace to rest in thee. In Christ's name, amen. Are there any questions now about our lesson? Yes.
Well, I think part of the problem is that work is identified with slavery. Work is identified with slavery.
Yes.
In the minds of a great many people, and it certainly was in the minds of the pagans. And when the aristocracy declined, when it abandoned its responsibilities and began to use leisure as play,
Very good.
I think we have the whole progression.
Yes. Our Lord says that if he does not make you free, you are a slave. So naturally, the slave, as you so well pointed out, is going to see work as slavery. And he winds up seeing life as slavery. So, Masaryk pointed out in a book on the subject that modern man increasingly sees life as slavery and is suicidal. And he traced the loss of faith to the rise of suicidism. Yes.
Since there have been numerous calendars down through the ages, is it really important which seventh day you choose for a Sabbath?
The Sabbath of the Old Testament was on the day of their deliverance, the day of Passover, when God set them apart to be saved. It was a day in terms of the day of the month, not the day of the week, so it varied just as your birthday varies. The Christian Sabbath is on the day of resurrection. So it's been always celebrated in almost every church on the day of resurrection, the first day of the week. There have been in history different weeks. That is, since it is a religious fact, not a natural fact like the moon and the year especially, there have been 8-day weeks, 10-day weeks, in various cultures, and no weeks.
So then it's possible to determine whether or not our calendar, our present calendar Sunday, then is the true Christian Sunday?
Yes. At the very beginning, the early church observed the Lord's resurrection day as the Sabbath, and they were very strict in Sabbath calculations, as the Hebrews had been before in calculating their calendar. And that's why calendar reform was instituted very early by Christians, the Gregorian calendar after St. Gregory, because the observance of the Sabbath was very important. The calendar was last adjusted to be accurate in the time of George Washington. I don't know when it will be due for a correction again. Any other questions or comments? If not, let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we give thanks unto thee that in Jesus Christ we do have rest, that in him our work is not futility, but valid for time and eternity, that our lives are not vain, but have a glorious and an eternal purpose. We thank thee, our Father, that thou hast, by thy grace and mercy, transferred us from the world of emptiness and meaninglessness into the world of thy meaning, thy life. And now go in peace, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Bless you and keep you, guide and protect you, this day and always. Amen.